saith me, this is my Bible, my very own Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. And I have what it says I have. Today I shall be taught from the living word of God. And I will never, never, never be the same again in Jesus' name. My life will be better after having heard the ever-living, precious word of God. I will never, never, never be the same again in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Never, never, never be the same again in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you will, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. Last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, and we began to talk about things that happened on Pentecost Day when the Holy Spirit came and began His ministry here on the earth in the individual believers. You know, in the Old Testament, the people that were typically carried the anointing were the prophet, the priest, and the king. The anointing of God rested upon them. And occasionally there would be others that the anointing of God would come upon. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit, He comes not only to rest upon us, but He also comes to dwell within us. And I just want to share some things along with this, along this line. But here begin with Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all with what? One accord in one place. In other words, there was unity there. They were there with expectation because they had been authorized by Jesus, or it's been delegated to them to go. Don't go out into ministry first until there's an endowment or an endowment of the Holy Spirit upon your life. And not only is that good for them back then, it is good for us today. A lot of people, they are really touched and moved by needs of people and things like this. But I'm here to tell you that we need the supernatural working in our life. Christianity began with the supernatural, and it's sustained through the supernatural. And so that unity was so important that they go there. Now the scripture tells us in the book of Luke that Jesus was seen by about 500 people at His ascension, when He ascended back to glory, and the angels stood by and asked the question, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing?" Looking at Jesus, you know, said, the same Jesus that you see that's going up, He's coming back in like manner. And where will He come back? He'll be back at the second coming. But also, when I say the second coming, He's coming back to the earth. But there's going to be something that happens in between then and the second coming. And that's going to be the glorious rapture of the church. But Jesus is not coming back to the earth. He's coming in the air. And the scripture said, we'll be caught up to meet Him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. And so, but the dispensation of the Holy Spirit began on this day. And it happened because these people were obedient. Jesus had told His disciples, He had prepped them, prepared them for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He said in John chapter 16, verse 7, it is more profitable for you that I go away, for if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come. But if I go, He will come, and He'll dwell within each of you. Amen. Glory to God. And so it continues here in verse 2, and suddenly, as the people were gathered together in one accord, suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all what? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, Are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? And you know, one thing, an indication, you know, that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, everybody in the book of Acts that was filled with the Holy Spirit, people heard them speaking. Now, the Spirit of God comes and lives within us when we get born again. But that's just one part. That's when we get saved. The Spirit of God, He comes and lives with us. But there's another part to this. And that is where the infilling of the Holy Spirit, where God, all of a sudden, He began to speak through us in a heaven's language. Amen. Now, some people are content just to have the Holy Spirit in them, but they don't go on. As a matter of fact, some people tell everybody, stay away from these tongues. But tongues is not of man, it's of God. And anything that God is offering, I want it. Amen, somebody. And I don't want to pick and choose. If God is offering, I take all of it. Amen. I don't want to be like the little kid whose father reached into his pocket and pulled out a wad of coins and the child just took a quarter. If he's offering the whole thing, you can take the whole thing out the hand. If God is offering the whole thing, accept everything that he's given. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hear this. It is the will of God. And notice, when they were all filled, they did not stay in the upper room. I said, they did not stay in the upper room. In other words, they hit the street. Look at somebody say, they hit the street. Amen. Glory to God. They hit the street. And beginning with, verse 12, said they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others, mocking, said, they are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. Somebody say it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that. Everybody say, this is that. This is that. This is that, or this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Old Testament, it says, and it shall come to pass, verse 17, in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and men servants, and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When Peter, this same Peter that denied Jesus, was filled with the Holy Spirit, there was a divine empowerment that came upon him. Jesus had just told them 10 days before. He just told them 10 days before in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that when, hear this, Acts 1, 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and all, and to the ends of the earth. Now, when he says that you shall receive power, in other words, you shall receive a dynamic ability. Jesus had already authorized his disciples to use his name. You know, so you already have that. But then you bring on the third person of the Godhead. Oh, glory to God. You know, right now there's a whole lot of movies and everything. They talk about, you know, all these champions, Superman, Iron Man. They talk about those that have supernatural powers. And sometimes we can think they're the only ones that, quote unquote, have supernatural powers. But if you are born again, child of God, you have supernatural power already. Amen. And if you would just begin to yield to the Holy Spirit, if there would be some expectation that God, hear this, if Jesus did it in the old, amongst the Old Testament, because Jesus was still in the Old Testament, still in the Old Covenant, If he did it, what he did yesterday, let him do today what he did yesterday. And I'm telling you that the same power that was present then is present today. Hallelujah. And you know, the Holy Spirit is here to help us where these things are concerned. The gift of the Holy Spirit that was promised and given to all on the first Pentecost is promised for you and your children and for all who are far off whom the Lord has called, Acts chapter 2, verse 39. So it's not just for a few of us. It's for all of us. Just like salvation is for all of us, not just for a couple of us. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Now, this same Peter that denied Jesus, and Jesus told him, said, after Peter said, you know, Lord, if everybody else forsake you, I'm going to be right there with you. Jesus said, Peter, this night, before the cock crows, you have denied me three times. And Peter, when they came and they captured Jesus, Peter followed along behind his captors and the crowd that was taking Jesus, wherever they were taking him. And he goes in and he's right among them that have taken Jesus. And all of a sudden, somebody come up and say, hey, we know you. You're with him. Peter said, no, I'm not. It's amazing. That's something about self-preservation, huh? Somebody said, I'd rather be I'd rather be a scared chicken, a live hero. Excuse me, I got this right. I would rather be a live Benson said it. Preach Benson. You'd rather be a live chicken than a dead hero. Yeah. And that's self-preservation. But if you believe in the power of God, it don't make a difference who identifies you. If God has a calling on your life, people can't touch you. Did you hear what I said? People can't touch you. I don't care what crowd you're in. See, sometimes we believe Psalm 91 until we get in the situation. You know, when we're in church, we have a Bible school lesson. We talk about Psalm 91. You know, that we abide under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand until you get in the situation. And you forget about that. Praise the Lord. Anyway. So Peter forgot about all that and denied the Lord three times. But something happened on the day of Pentecost. This Peter who denied Jesus, who repented of it, the Bible said he cried because he remembered exactly what the Lord had told him. I mean, Peter was very adamant about his belief. He told the Lord, said, Lord, I'll stand there. And he proved it too. When they came to take the disciple, when they came to take Jesus, when the soldiers came to take Jesus, Peter pulled out his sword and cut one of the ears off. I mean, he said, I'm going to fight with you. I believe in you. And Jesus took the man's ear up and picked it up. He said, put your sword up, slap the man's ear upside the head. And then that same man said, weren't you there? Peter said, no, that wasn't me. I mean, you know what? He didn't go in the Bible and say, went into detail, say, you the one cut my ear off. But Peter said, no, that wasn't me. And another girl come up to him and said, you know what? Your speech betrays you. You're with him. He said, no, I know not the man. The Bible said, one translation said, Peter started cussing. He started, oh my God. I tell you, Peter, either all for you or he's not for you. You know, one or the other. And this same Peter, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, there was a divine impartation. There was an empowerment that came upon him that all of the things that Jesus said to them in John 14, John 15, John 16 about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, he's going to bring things back to your remembrance. This same Peter got up and began to preach under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, Peter preached the first message under the anointing of the Holy Spirit after Jesus' resurrection. And this same Peter that preached this gospel, 3,000 people got saved. My God. 3,000 people got saved. Now, hear this. You know, I can do save and try to say things a certain way to get you, get a response from you. But I'm telling you, I'm not that good. But where the Holy Spirit is concerned, sometimes things come out of us that we hadn't planned to come out of us. And the Holy Spirit knows exactly what needs to be said to get to people's heart. And people will wind up doing things and going like, why did they try to do that? Well, because of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is going to convict the world. He's going to convince. He's going to reprove. He has a certain ministry. And when he comes and he's active in his ministry, things begin to snap, crackle, and pop. Hallelujah. I said things begin to change. Now, for the most part, the church, we just kind of like glad we accept it. Listen here. I don't care about being accepted by the world. I want to be accepted by God. Because one thing I do, I live with this consciousness that one day I'm going to stand before him. I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Thou good and faithful servant. See, if God's not pleased, it don't matter about anybody else. Amen, somebody. Hallelujah. Now, I look here throughout the rest of the book of Acts and the different experiences that people had, such as in Acts chapter 8, verse 14 through 19. We find out, first of all, in the beginning part of Acts chapter 8, that Philip left Samaria and went down and began to preach Christ. And he began to preach him, and people and said there was joy in the city. You know, the gospel is good news. Joy was in the city. But then the apostles, they heard about Philip, had gone down to Samaria and preached the gospel. And lo and behold, they sent down some apostles who laid hands on the people. And the people were filled with the Holy Spirit. How did you know they were filled? Because there was a gentleman there that Peter had to rebuke later because he thought he could buy the gift. He thought he could buy the gift. And it said, when he saw that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, he tried to get that power too because he used to be a soothsayer, a root worker, someone who operated in witchcraft. And always bamboozle people, get them to get what he wanted to get from them, but he saw something that was bigger than what he had. I'm telling you, when witches come around, I tell you, witches are no match for the power of God. Amen, somebody. They may try all their incantations and everything, but I'm telling you, when somebody is operating and know the power of God and know the Holy Spirit and know the one who lives within them, I tell you, they shut down everything that they're doing. Glory to God. I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit, when he is alive and working on your inside, things begin to change. Hallelujah. Oh, that the church will come alive and realize who we have. Amen. That's living on our inside. Who's come on us. Who's empowered us to do what we are called to do in Jesus' name. Amen. When we realize that, I'm telling you, the world is no match for us. Oh, glory to God. And the disciples laid hands, the apostles laid hands on them, and the people were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 18, verse 18, it says, Simon saw through the laying on of hands that the people were filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 9, there was a gentleman by the name of Saul of Tarsus. Oh, Saul of Tarsus, he had done a lot of things. He was zealous for God, but he had done a lot of things against the church of God. Stephen was killed, and they came. He incited a lot of things. He obtained authority from the chief priests to go down to Damascus and also to find people that were there that are following this new way. Do you understand? What Jesus did shook up the world. And then on top of that, just a few days later, hear this, within 50 days, the world was shaken up because Jesus was crucified, he died, was buried, and gloriously resurrected. And then 10 days later, after he walked here on this earth for 40 years, 10 days later, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I'm going to pray to the Father, and he's going to send you another comforter. I tell you, don't take long, Jesus, get his prayers answered. Amen. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came, the third person of the Godhead, came on the day of Pentecost and sat upon each of them. And I'm telling you, the world hasn't been the same since. Matter of fact, they talked about these disciples and apostles later, and they said, these that have turned the world upside down have come here also. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Do you know that God has called us to turn the world upside down? The word God has called us not just to be accepted, but to shake things up. Amen. To stir things up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God has a wonderful plan for every man's life. As I always said, God has plans for you, and none of them include defeat. But this same God, Saul of Tarsus, he had obtained authority to go and to imprison, to persecute, whatever you need to do, those that in Damascus. And on the road to Damascus, he had a glorious experience. Oh, glory to God. He thought he was serving God. Thought he was doing everything he knew to do. But he yet had to be enlightened. And you know what? God had mercy on him, had grace on him. And Saul, he got born again. Amen. And then on top of that, there was another one who God sent down to go down there and be with him. And God said, go down here and said, and you know what, God knows where you at? Did you hear what I said? God knows where you are. God told this man to go there in Acts chapter 9. He said, go down there. Said, there's one, Saul. And the man told the Lord, said, Lord, I heard about that guy. He done hurt a lot of people. He's like, you sure he's the one? He said, oh, yeah, he's the one. And he said, I want you to go down and lay hands on him. And then also, and he said, he laid hands on him. Not only did he receive his sight, because he was blinded on that road to Damascus. The light was so bright. I'm telling you, boy, when you get around God, you need real dark shades. I tell you, it's worse than a nuclear blast. Amen. And Paul, when he came in touch with this glory on that road to Damascus, the scripture said it blinded him. He was blind for several days. But yet, he began to go where he went on that street called straight, and he began to pray. And while he was in there praying, lo and behold, God was talking to somebody else over there to come down and lay hands on him that he may receive his sight and also that he might be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul got it, and I'm telling you, he just never stopped running for God. Wound up writing over half the New Testament. Oh, glory to God. And this same Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, matter of fact, if you will, turn over there real quick. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning of verse 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep what? The unity of the Spirit. Now, hear this. Now, this is the beginning of the church. The beginning of the church. And you know, there are a lot of things that happen in the beginning of the church that, wherein we don't have an idea of everything that the church is about. We get a part of what the church is about. And that's why the Bible is a progressive revelation of truth. As we begin to continue to read, God continues to reveal more. And so we begin to see more and begin to walk out more. Because the church is more than just about salvation. The church is more than just about being filled with the Spirit. You have to have leadership. Huh? You got special ministry of children and youth and all these different ministries and everything. But one thing we can't forget, and that is our roots. Did you hear what I said? We cannot forget the roots. Because when you look at children's ministry, when you look at this and you look at that, all these different ministries within the church, the leadership and all the different elders and deacons and all this in the church, one thing we must not forget. We must not get caught up in that. Because that is not this. Did you hear what I said? That is not this. We need this so we can have that. Oh, glory to God. See, sometimes we get caught up in our position and our titles and all these things, but we forget the Holy One. We forget the one who was sent. We forget the one who has the power, who's empowered us to do what we do. We forget about him. You know, in the book of Exodus chapter 33, I think it is, Moses, when it come to going up from where they were, because they were moving from place to place, Moses gave us insight in something that we do good to take heed to. He said, Lord, if you go up from here, we're going with you. But if you don't go, hear this. We're not leaving your presence. We need your presence. And sometimes we forget that. Because now when the Holy Spirit comes, I'm telling you, there's a presence that comes. When the Holy Spirit comes, there's a unity that comes. You have to work in the flesh to create animosity and all those things. You got to work at that. When the Holy Spirit has free course, I'm telling you, there's the love of God flows. Oh, my, 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 my. And we are admonished to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to do these things on a daily basis, not just on Sunday and Wednesday or whenever else you go to church or Bible study. But it should be a lifestyle. In other words, we should practice his presence at all times, in every service. Now, today we sang a lot about Jesus. We sang about God. There's a place for that. But there's also a place for singing about the Holy Spirit. The strongest ministries on the planet today are ministries that emphasize the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about ministries with power. And while we need to get people saved, and we're going to continue to get them saved, we got to take it a little bit further, too. Because, see, just salvation alone, you need something else. You need what God called, what Jesus called, the helper. He's a comforter. He's a strengthener. He's a standby. He's an advocate. Amen? He's a helper. He's a strengthener. He's all those things combined in one. And we need him too. And you think of ministries like, and people criticize people that operate and move in the Holy Spirit. Don't criticize what you don't understand. Like Benny Hinn. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. You know, there are leaders in our nation today that are considered to be profound leaders that say they know how to do everything without the Holy Ghost. They tell you, we can grow a church. We don't need the Pentecostal experience. We can grow a church. And they can. They can get people in. Now, you can do anything. You got the right program. Did you hear what I said? The right programs. And you can do it. It's been proven time and time again. But then once you get the right program, I mean, after a person been saved for 5, 10, 15 years, what is their spiritual experience like after that? There was one book that came out that was entitled Relevance. And by one of the mega churches. And they went back and surveyed. Thank God they did it. They did a survey because they were of the, they were one of those that were saying, you don't need all this extra that y'all Pentecostals have. And they went back to check the lives of the people that they brought in and give them all these programs and all that. And programs are nice. You need them in addition to. We cannot forsake his presence. And the, and it's amazing, the statistics. They said after so many years of doing this, we've discovered that the people are no better off spiritually than they were when they got born again. You know why? Because something was missing. You know what was missing? The Holy Ghost. Oh, my. I tell you, it takes things to another level. Did you hear what I said? It takes things to another level. You know, there were some, in Acts chapter 19, there were some Baptists. Somebody said, Baptists? Yeah, there were some Baptists. Now, they were believers now. They were believers. And just read there. I'll just kind of wrap it up here. Oh, my God. I just feel like I can go. Amen. In Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. It happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you hear that? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Thank God for people that tell the truth. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. I said they were Baptists. And John, then Paul said, John indeed baptized with water, with the repentance, baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, the men were about 12 in all. 12 men. Glory to God. Amen. 12 men, they received the Holy Spirit. They said, we ain't never heard about anything as the Holy Ghost. Regular King James said, we ain't never heard about such things as the Holy Ghost. Then on top of that, in Acts chapter 10, it tells us also about Cornelius. Holy Spirit had given instruction to go find Peter by the angels. Had given instruction to go find Peter. And told exactly where Peter was. David, you know God had GPS. He gave specific direction. He knew exactly where Peter was and told the people, go down to where Peter is. And he's going to come tell you about this way of salvation. And you know what happened? When he came back in, Peter came in and he said, okay, why did y'all summon me? And Cornelius began to tell of the angelic experience that he had while he was in prayer and what the angel told him to do. And then, you know, this stood out to me. Cornelius said, we are all assembled here together for you to tell us what God said. Oh, my God. And Peter began to speak. And the scripture said, while he was preaching, nobody laid hands on him. Nobody coached him. While he was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Amen. While he was preaching, so ain't no such set way just to receive the Holy Spirit. It can happen many different ways. Some people can lay hands on you. Amen. You can do it by yourself. You can go and just be sitting in the service. It can happen. But you know what? You got to be open to it. You know, some churches, you start speaking in tongues, they will throw you out. They will throw you out and your tongues and attribute it to the devil. We have none of that in here. That ain't the only way to heaven. They're just not enjoying the trip. Amen. Yeah. And they relegate everything to them in the sweet by and by. Someday, when we cross over the Jordan, it's going to be all right over there. Well, Jesus came so that some things can be all right here, right now. Hallelujah. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. The power of God is here for right now. Not just for in the sweet by and by, but right here in the midst of all the hellacious things that are going on in our life, the power of God is present right now. Hallelujah. You believe it? Stand on your feet right now in Jesus' name and say, Lord, I receive your power working in my life, in every situation, in every circumstance. I am what God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. Today I declare in Jesus' name, as I'm yielded to the Holy Spirit, that the greater one is at work in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In Jesus' name, I yield myself to you right now, Holy Spirit. Have your way in my life, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen, somebody. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Now, hear this. So, you know, and sometimes people say, well, you know, Pastor, I don't speak in tongues. I don't have that. I think that's for some people. No, it's for all of us. Now, let me tell you this. Anytime you see a promise in the Word of God and you haven't experienced it yet, don't discount it. Don't discount it. Say it is mine, whether you have the manifestation of it or not. Because why? Because it's in the Word. It's in the Word. Amen? Glory to God. And just say, you just have to say, Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. Today, I receive in Jesus' name. Matter of fact, you can just say, Lord, I receive. My prayer language today in Jesus' name. Glory to God. And you know what? You may wake up, you may wake up out of your sleep, caught up my chicken in my, somebody, oh, what was that? What was that? Well, just let it go. Amen. Somebody say, I'll tell you what. One preacher was telling a story, laid hands on this one lady. She was a school teacher. Matter of fact, and he said, he laid hands on her, had taught for a whole week on the Holy Spirit and everything, laid hands on her. She was the only one of all the crowd that didn't receive that didn't speak in tongues. And so she had to go back out of town because she was invited there because a friend told her, everybody down here received the Holy Spirit. And so she came down. And she left out of the service a little early got in her car and just sitting there dejected. Just sitting there dejected. And the preacher saw her. He walks off the platform, runs out the back outside, and he catches her. And he knocks on the window. And he said, sister, he said, did you understand what I was teaching today? She said, yeah, I heard. He said, you wanted to speak in tongues today, right? She said, yes, I did. I came all the way down here. She said, I have to go back. I can't be here tonight. You know, I got school tomorrow. And then he began to read the scripture, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. And when it came to, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. He asked the question, said, who did the speaking? She said, the Holy Ghost. He asked the same question four times. He said, listen here, the Holy Ghost is not going to start talking through you. You have to yield your lips. And he said, I sense right now you got something on your inside right now, and you just need to go ahead and yield to it. And he said, is that right? She said, I believe that you got something like wanting to come out of you right now. And she said, I it's all I can do to keep it from happening. He said, well, don't suppress it. Let it go. And she just let it rip. Amen. Glory to God. And just let it rip. And then she went back to school the next day. She was a totally different person. Glory to God. Her life had changed forever. Amen. Now hear this. It's not enough just to receive the Holy Spirit, speaking with tongues, and then don't practice your prayer language. Because it's amazing. Pentecostal denomination, people that have been filled with the Holy Spirit. It's amazing the number of people, once they receive the filling of the Holy Spirit, that don't pray in the Spirit anymore. Listen here. We began with the supernatural. We have to be maintained with the supernatural. All glory to God.